This is VK6ARN News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931.
Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6FCRC, and welcome to News West for the 8th of June, 2025. Now on with the news.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. The other day, a report in Amateur Radio Daily caught my eye. Under the heading IARU Considers Consolidation, I read that the International Amateur Radio Union, celebrating 100 years of representing our hobby, is considering significant change. Links in the report reveal a PDF document titled IARU Consultation on Proposed Restructuring March 2025. The document, dated 21 March, outlines the structure of the IARU, four organisations, one for each ITU region, and one global organisation, the International Secretariat. It provides some insights on how the funding arrangements between these organisations exist, and goes on to talk about how the IARU operates, including incorporation or not, currencies, committees, priorities, and other background and historic information. All excellent stuff that should be public knowledge. But having spent the better part of a year reading IARU documents, this one brought several new eye-opening things to the table. The document attributes no authors, but is at least spell-checked in US English, and appears to be part of a discussion started long before I became an amateur. In 2005, the IARU started the IARU 2025 Committee to look into the future of the organisation. It concluded its work in 2012. In 2020, a new committee was started, the Future Committee, consisting of representation from each of the regions. The introductory wording is curious and includes these words, quote, "We can no longer afford not to move the process forward," end quote, at least implying that this document is a foregone conclusion. Searching for the document on the IARU sites will give you no results. Searching for Future Committee gives you two results, neither actually having the words Future Committee. The only reference which makes any sense in either of those two results, and only after the fact, is a paragraph published on 12 October 2020 that refers to the Administrative Council, or AC, and states, quote, "The AC received and discussed an in-depth report from its working group on the future of IARU and agreed to steps for evolving towards a more flexible organisation and strengthened relationships with all stakeholders in the global amateur radio community and telecommunications ecosystem." End quote. For a process that started 20 years ago, this is the first I've heard of it. Curious, wouldn't you say, in an organisation that claims to represent both you and I? It's almost like the IARU wants to keep this whole thing a secret. There's more. The thrust of the document is to explore the notion of simplifying the operation of the IARU by consolidating the four organisations into one incorporated body based in Switzerland, where the IARU Region 1 organisation is currently incorporated. It goes on to discuss how this is great for the hobby, how it will save on resources, and how it will allow the mostly volunteer-run organisation to operate more democratically. It outlines the process for adoption, including a 60-day consultation period for the 167 member societies, as in peak bodies in your country. I'll save you the suspense. The consultation period ended before I saw the document. There's a 30-day detailed draft proposal phase and a final proposal and voting stage, neither of which are on any specific timeline that I could find. You might well say, "Ono, you're not a member society, it's none of your business." That's true. Here's the thing. Let me quote from Section 5 on page 11. Quote, "In many cases, the IARU member society does not represent the majority of the national amateur community," end quote. So, not to belabor the point, the IARU, who is proud to represent amateur radio on the international stage, writes in its own documentation that the organisation doesn't represent the majority of amateurs while claiming its intention to make the organisation more flexible and democratic. Gotta say, feeling all warm and fuzzy. In Section 6, the document goes into great detail about finance. I'm kidding. It has one sub-subsection about money, Section 613, less than 10% of the document. No less explosive for its brevity. It states that each region contributes to the overall IAIU budget, but that this contribution remains insufficient to cover the many critical representation efforts required. It goes on to say that, quote, historically the ARRL has played a key role in bridging this financial gap, end quote. For its contribution, the ARRL currently nominates the president and vice president, which the member societies get to vote on. I wonder what happens if they don't vote for the nominated candidate. What happens when the ARRL is no longer first among equals? Will it continue to fund the IAIU? While pointing out that all direct representation of the IAIU at the ITU are made by volunteers, as well as, quote, nearly all, end quote, all other activities, I wonder which activities are paid and how much. There's also discussion about a not ideal compromise, namely that we'll have to be virtual attendees to save money. Really? In 2025, after a century of representing amateur radio, we're still attending meetings in person? Has nobody at the IARU heard of this new technology, you know, the one it claims to promote, radio, or the more modern version, teleconference? You'd think that a bunch of volunteer radio amateurs would jump at the chance to debate things over radio. Moving on. The finance section includes an interesting statement, quote, many regions have accumulated cash reserves, quote, and, quote, where these reserves are substantial and have resulted from a specific region's activities, they may need to be held in trust and designated exclusively for initiatives related to that former region, end quote. Let's unpack this. There's three regions. Many regions means more than one, but not all, so two. In other words, one region has no money. Which one? Moreover, substantial reserves from a specific region means one of the other two, so one. So it made money, it's substantial, it's intended to be designated exclusively for that one region. Which one? The Wireless Institute of Australia, which claims to have existed longer than the IARU and the ARRL before it, was a federation. In 2004, the regulator indicated that it should consolidate its efforts because apparently the various state WIA organisations, quote, could never agree on a single outcome, end quote. This organisation was incorporated in VK3, where it continues to exist as a first among equals. Curiously, the Victorian, Tasmanian, and South Australia with Northern Territory divisions of the Wireless Institute of Australia are each still incorporated and active. Today, if you're in VK6, like I am, your experience of the WIA is completely different from that if you're in VK3, and to a lesser extent, VK2. Remind you of anything? The document mentions that, quote, only fully paid-up member societies in good standing have the right to vote, end quote, and, quote, the current fee structure will need to be harmonised across all three regions, which may lead to increased dues for some member societies, end quote. That tells us that some member societies will have to pay more money, and if they don't, they won't be able to vote. I wonder if these are members of the region with all the money or from the region without money. I'll remind you that member societies have already been acknowledged by the IARU as being underfunded, offering reduced services with some member societies being disbanded. The point being that we are finding out, behind the scenes, after the fact, of a process that has been in play for 20 years, that aims to create a single harmonised body whilst exacerbating existing inequities and doing so in secret. Is that the kind of body that you want to represent you on the world stage? Is this something that your member society knows about? Is it actively participating? Does it share that information with you or hide it? Are you informed, or did you learn more today from me than you have in the past 20 years? Before I leave you to your thoughts, credits to Kale, Kilo 4 Hotel Charlie Kilo, for publishing the story, and thanks to their source for sharing the document. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Maurice Veith, K6HLY, has established a Winlink gateway on 147.550 at his home, QTH, as part of the Peel Amateur Radio Group Winlink Gateway range of frequencies. That new 2-meter frequency again is 147.550. Maurice also hosts a Winlink gateway on 80 meters from his home, QDH. Peel Amateur Radio Group Winlink gateways also operate on 40, 20, and 15 meters plus 70 centimeters. Frequencies are listed on the Peel Amateur Radio Group website.
Hello everyone, this is Clive, VK6CSW, reminding you that tomorrow is the first Monday of the month, time for the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia's June Bulletin to go to air. Firstly though, Perth members and friends are advised that following last month's very successful lunch at the new venue in Balcatta, this month's lunch on Tuesday, June the 10th, will once again be held at the 7 Mile Bar and Bistro, 501 Wanneroo Road, Balcatta, starting at about 11:30. If you will be attending, please email lunch coordinator Alastair, VK6ATX, ASAP, so that he can book you in. Alastair's email address is vk6kif@bigpond.com. Once again, that's VK6 Kilo India Foxtrot at bigpond.com. Full details of how to get to the 7 Mile Bar and Bistro, together with the hotel's website, including menu details, can be found on the new and much improved RAOTC website. Just put RAOTC into your favourite search engine and then navigate to lunches. Be sure to check the RAOTC Club website for booking and travel information. This month, as well as the latest club news, we have an article entitled Why CDs Failed the Test of Time, read by John VK3MK. This will be followed by a timely reminder regarding a subject that seems to have fallen into disuse these days, that is, on-air etiquette, read by Ron VK3AFW. Everyone, RAOTC members and non-members alike, is most welcome to listen to the program and join in the callbacks afterwards. Now, some local broadcast details. Tomorrow, Chris VK6JI will transmit the bulletin on 80 meters on 3620 kHz starting at 8 a.m. At 9 a.m. local time tomorrow, there's a transmission via digital mobile radio on the VKDMR network Talk Group 5. At 10 a.m. local time, the program will be transmitted via the NewsWest linked repeater system, simultaneously with a 40-meter transmission on 7088 kHz, again by Chris VK6JI. At midday, that is 0400 Zulu, there's a transmission on 10 meters on 28.450 MHz from Mike VK8MA. On Wednesday, June the 4th, we have a D-Star broadcast at about 5:30 p.m. WA local time. This will be transmitted via D-Star Reflector 91C following AR Newsline. On Sunday, June the 8th, repeats of the RAOTC bulletin follow the 160-meter and 80-meter broadcasts of the WIA News, both of which now start at 6 a.m., and again after the 40-meter broadcast, which now starts at 8 a.m. Just repeating those new start times, 80 meters at 6 a.m., 40 meters at 8 a.m., both conducted by Chris VK6JI. Full details of all transmissions, times, modes and frequencies can be found on the RAOTC website, and if none of the transmission times suit you, you can download the audio file at any time from today from the club's website. Tune in tomorrow for the June RAOTC broadcast, and we look forward to hearing your call sign in the callbacks. 7-3 from Clive, VK6CSW.
The Peel Amateur Radio Group Annual General Meeting will be held on Tuesday, June 17th at 7 p.m. or 1900 hours at the Mandurah State Emergency Service Headquarters, Education Drive, next to Bunnings Mandurah and opposite TAFE. All welcome, however only financial PRG members can vote for office bearers for 2025 to 2026. So make sure you pay your annual subs ASAP.
Good morning, fellow amateurs and shortwave listeners. Roy, VK6X-Ray Victor here with this week's helpline for the 7th of June. It's halfway through the year already. I have no new items this week, but I do have a repeat from last week. We have a Daiwa antenna tuning unit model Charlie November Whiskey 417 in good condition, $80. A Kenwood Tango Mike model 2-meter transceiver 2550 in good condition also, $50. And they have a Uniden Bearcat receiver. It's a uniform Bravo Charlie 9000 receiver, good condition, $40. Have two Bofang handheld UHF transceivers. They're the BF777 Sierra, and they're $20 each. There's one charger for the above UHF transceivers for $10. Please contact Keith Peterson. Keith Peterson, VK6 Papa Tango. His email address is keithpeterson962@gmail.com. I spell for you, Kilo Echo India Tango Hotel Papa Echo Tango Echo Romeo Sierra Oscar November, figures 962@gmail.com. I won't go through that again. You got it the first time, didn't you? I hope. This is Roy. That's all I got for you this week. 7-3. And if you have any ideas for next week, please contact me. The address, vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. After a year's frustration, I finally got my email working, but now nothing else works. out of the frying pan, into the fire. Cheers, 7-3.
Hi there. It's Clinton, VK6FCRC, back with you. And did you know that News West is now on YouTube? Type in youtube.com/@NewsWestWeeklyPodcast-KiloZulu7YankeeCharlie. Oh, and before I go, I'd like to thank those watching on YouTube or ATV, the readers, and you for listening. I'd also like to thank our team, the broadcasters, and those submitting content each week. Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast, or head over to the VK6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.